Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention. With your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. Our topic tonight, ADHD and autism spectrum. Can they co-occur? And with us in our virtual studio is Megan Miller. She's one of our first-time guests on Attention Talk Radio. We're very excited about her and her topic tonight. Real quickly, tonight is Wednesday, April the 18th in the year 2018 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tonight's show is being brought to you by children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. We've had a relationship with them for a very, very long period of time, and we're excited that they support our program. For those of you who don't know, Chad produces Attention Magazine and used to have to be a member to get it. Now you can get it as a standalone thing, and so we're trying to encourage everybody to sample it. So we have a little a fun thing going on right now, and that is if you listen to our show tonight and you listen for the secret word, what you do is write down the secret word and the date of the show and or the title of the show, and if you can collect three of them, you email attention at attentiontalkradio.com. And we'll get your email, and we will send you the most recent two subscriptions of Attention Magazine via email in a PDF format for you to sample it. So we're real excited because you can actually you can subscribe and get this by yourself for the first time. It's been long awaited. Let's see. Also, we got a little tip tonight that we're going to run, so let's do that, and we'll get into the meat of the show.
Summer is almost here. What would be the best summer plan for your child with ADHD? Here are a few tips. Create a routine, provide structured activities, and set a bedtime to keep your child from being tired and restless the next day. For more summer survival tips, visit Chad's website at helpforadhd.org.
Thank you very much, Chad, for that little tip. For those who don't know, Chad is the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. We encourage everybody to become a member. They've got a lot of great benefits, but the reason to become a member is we speak with one voice through Chad on Capitol Hill, regulatory agencies, et cetera, and Chad is a strong ADHD community. So learn more and sign up to become a member at chadd.org. Also, it's time to start talking about the International Conference on ADHD, which is the second weekend in November. It's going to be in St. Louis this year. If you've been a long-term listener, you know we're a big fan of this. We have a lot of great content on Attention Talk Radio, but there's nothing better than going to the tribe and meeting speakers like Megan herself and talking to her and rubbing shoulders and getting to know people in the hall. So, again, go check that out. But enough of that. Tonight, we got a great show. We're going to talk about ADHD and autism spectrum. Can they co-occur? This is a great show for me tonight because, quite honestly, I'm a neophyte on this. I'm anxious to learn a lot from Megan. She's actually a licensed clinical psychologist whose specialty is in the early diagnosis and comorbidity between autism and ADHD. She's assistant professor in the Department of Psychology and Behavioral Sciences at UC Davis Mind Institute. She got her BA in psychology at San Diego State University and her PhD in clinical psychology at UC Berkeley. She's a recipient of the UC Davis Award of Excellence in Postdoctoral Research in 2016. She's the Chad Young Scientist Research Award in 2015. You can learn much more about her if you go to mindinstitute.org. And with that, Megan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
This is very exciting for me because I get to learn a lot tonight. ADHD has been around for a period of time, and autism has been around for a period of time. And years ago, you couldn't have the two at the same time, and now apparently you can have a dual diagnosis. Can you tell us about the background of this and maybe kind of like how it came to be that the thought leaders are beginning to believe that maybe they could coexist?
Sure. So I think probably you know, and probably many of your listeners know, that ADHD and autism can co-occur, but for whatever reason, that wasn't the case technically speaking in previous editions of the diagnostic manual that we use to make diagnoses, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. So you know, previously folks thought that the attention problems you might see in a child with autism were really just a result of the autism, and not necessarily the addition of another diagnosis of ADHD. But over the years, I think many clinicians and parents recognized that, you know, in fact, a child can have both. And so before even it was formally permitted to diagnose both in the same individual, providers and clinicians were doing that already, just based on what they were seeing in clinic and the kids that they were seeing. So in 2013, the fifth edition of the DSM came out, and that's the current edition now, and they made a change to acknowledge the fact, to acknowledge basically what clinicians were seeing in clinical practice, that, that autism and ADHD can co-occur. And so now it's not prohibited anymore. So that came about in 2013 that we're now allowed to diagnose both within the same individual.
Can you tell us a little bit about, like, ADHD and autism, like, kind of like them individually, where they might overlap or where they'd be different, just so we can get a distinction between the two of them a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So probably everybody that listening is familiar with the symptoms of ADHD, but maybe not as much with the symptoms of autism spectrum disorder, or ASD. And so autism is really characterized by deficits in social communication and the presence of restricted interests or repetitive behaviors. And so on the surface there, it really doesn't sound like it has that much in common with ADHD. It sounds pretty different, and really it is. But I think one of the things that is probably at the core, and I think I'm not alone in thinking this, of both ADHD and autism is disturbance in attentional processes or in attention. And those kind of underlying processes may be disturbed in different ways in autism and ADHD. So, for example, in ADHD, we're really thinking about challenges with kind of maintaining attention, sustaining attention, being really distractible. In autism, we see challenges more with things like shifting attention, so getting stuck on things, or joint attention, which is the ability to sort of share interest with someone through the direction of their attention using nonverbal, your own nonverbal cues, like directing someone's gaze to another object you're interested in with your eyes, for example. So, you know, there are lots of different aspects of attention, but I think that's one common factor between autism and ADHD. And we do see that in kids who have autism and ADHD, it's really the inattentive presentation that is the most commonly comorbid in kids with autism versus the combined type, where we've got more of the hyperactivity and impulsivity going on as well.
So I want to stop for a second, because you said in autism, shifting attention is a little bit of a problem. I know that with people in ADHD, transitions from one setting to another or from one thing to another is actually a bit of a challenge. Are we talking about two different things here, or is there some similarities between the two?
There could definitely be some similarities. Yeah. When we talk about shifting attention in autism, you know, we're really this comes from kind of standard laboratory tasks of attentional functioning, kind of cognitive science approaches to studying attention and understanding attention. And so you could think of a couple of, you know, something being presented on a screen, for example, and you've got kind of a center object, and then a picture of a toy comes up to one side, and then a picture of another toy comes up on the other side. And sometimes that other toy overlaps with the picture on the left side in timing, meaning that both are on the screen at the same time. And sometimes the first one goes away before the second one comes up. And you see that in children with autism, they have a harder time shifting away from the first object when both objects are on the screen at the same time. So they get stuck and focused in on the first one and have a harder time shifting. In ADHD, though, sometimes we might see that, but we often see more of they're not really focusing on either one of them. They're kind of back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. They're maybe shifting too much. And so that's a very basic level in terms of, like, basic cognitive process difference that we might see. But you're right that in the real world, in real life, we can see challenges with moving from one task to another in kids with ADHD. I think it's hard to dissect, you know, whether the reason that that's a challenge for kids with ADHD is the same as it is for children with autism. But in autism, I think the way I think of it behaviorally is that kids tend to get more over-focused on preferred objects that kind of restrict their social world. ADHD, I think oftentimes it's kind of an avoidance of the next task because it's not going to be as fun or enjoyable as the task they're in now, or it's going to be harder or something like that. But it has a different quality to it, even though kind of the fundamental challenge of moving on to a new task is clear for both.
Yeah, so what I loved is what you said a second ago, is hard to dissect, because the way you describe the clinical presentation on the computer screen, the objects, that's very slow and measurable. But when you're running 100 miles an hour in life, sometimes that would kind of blend together. And I can see how that and a lot of these other things would be very difficult to discern which is ADHD, which is autism spectrum, and which is like the two of those, which has got to be kind of crazy because these are very complex things that are kind of coming together. And that's quite a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a huge challenge, and I honestly don't think that we're at a place where anybody has any good answers to how to do it. I mean, it's a question that gets asked anytime I give a talk to parents and families in particular about the intersection of autism and ADHD. Is well, how do we know? How do you know that it's, you know, this symptom is because of the autism and that symptom is because of the ADHD? And the answer is we really don't. So my take on things at this point is I just want to be sure that I'm not counting the same symptom for both diagnoses. So, you know, you really need to be thinking carefully about not just saying a child has autism and ADHD just because they struggle with attention, because in some cases
yep.
it might be that the attention challenges you're seeing really do feel more qualitatively like the attention challenges you would think of in autism and not ADHD. Or a child with autism might engage in some repetitive motor behaviors like flapping
mm-hmm.
or moving their body in a certain way that someone might think, well, that's really hyperactive. See, they're moving a lot. That's activity and that's ADHD. But again, if you're thinking carefully about it, you realize that really that feels more like the quality of a repetitive behavior in autism. It's not the same as running and climbing that you'd see in ADHD. And then the other layer that is presents a challenge when we're thinking about whether or not a child with autism also has ADHD is level of developmental functioning. So we know that the criteria for ADHD are, you know, really clear about the symptoms have to be inconsistent with developmental level.
Uh-huh.
We see, you know, delays more often in autism than we do in ADHD alone. Some children with autism also have intellectual disability, so their kind of developmental level is sometimes younger than their chronological age. And so that's also important to consider, because we know 2- and 3-year-olds, they run around a lot, they have a lot of trouble paying attention, and that's normal. So if you have a 7-year-old who's functioning at the 2- or 3-year-old age level, when
yep.
you're trying to determine do they have ADHD, you really should be comparing those behaviors to what you think is typical in a 2- or 3-year-old and versus a 7- or 8-year-old. So really you should be considering kind of where they're at developmentally, not just in terms of chronological age.
Yeah, wow. Wow. I tell you what, I love where we are. This is a great stopping point. We're going to go to break, everybody. If you want to learn more about Megan, her website is mindinstitute.org, and I'm really excited to have her on and having this conversation, because this is exciting stuff to me that they're actually addressing this. We've got some people that are studying it. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about if you're out there listening to this show, you were drawn to this for a reason, and I want to talk about what's going on to kind of help you as a parent or somebody who's supporting this really understand what's going on. So, again, learn more about Megan at mindinstitute.org. And tonight's secret word is ASD. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio. Transform lives as a professionally trained ADHD coach at the ADD Coach Academy. ADHD coaching is in demand, a calling, and a career. Learn how you can change lives by going to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention@attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
We're back here with Megan Miller having a great conversation about ADHD and autism spectrum. Before the break, it was really kind of cool. Back in 2013, the DSM changed to allow for the dual diagnosis of the two. And what was really cool from Megan before the break was the notion that it's hard to discern the difference between these two, which I think it makes it infinitely complex, number one, to diagnose and understand really what's at play, and then actually to kind of figure out what's going on and how do you treat this. And I'm jumping ahead a little bit, Megan. I've had some conversations with like Dr. Roberto Olivardia and some others, like with OCD and ADHD or bipolar ADHD and the treatment or depression and ADHD and the treatment of those. And sometimes, often, some of those you treat one first or primarily, and maybe not the other. When it comes to these two, have we figured out one or another in terms of what you treat first, or is we treat them the same in terms of treatment, whether it might be medications or stuff? Can you just talk to us about that a little bit?
Sure. So the average age of diagnosis of autism is significantly earlier than the average age of diagnosis of ADHD. So I think for the most part, most, definitely not all, but most individuals who have both will be initially diagnosed with autism first. Now, there has been there have been a couple of studies that have found that actually an early presentation of ADHD or essentially a diagnosis of ADHD in those children who are diagnosed early with ADHD, but they also end up having autism, there tends to be a bit of a delay of several years in terms of getting the ASD diagnosis. So it's possible that for very young kids, these are preschool age kids who have severe ADHD symptoms, but who also have autism, those severe ADHD symptoms might sort of mask the autism piece to providers in a sort of general pediatric clinic. So that's important to keep in mind. But for the most part, children are going to be diagnosed with autism first, and so they'll likely be receiving treatment for autism first. And the treatments, you know, behavioral treatments are effective for ADHD. They're really the only treatments available for autism that target core symptoms. But then with ADHD, we also have this other layer of medication, right, which is the other primarily kind of effective treatment for ADHD. And that is a medication that targets the core symptoms of ADHD. Autism, we don't have any medication that targets the core symptoms. I'm not a medical doctor, but, you know, folks who can prescribe medications will use medications in individuals with autism to target usually the comorbid symptoms, whether it's depression or anxiety or ADHD. And in terms of ADHD, the research so far suggests that the same medications that are used to treat ADHD are helpful for ADHD symptoms and autism, but there does seem to be this reduction in effectiveness compared to kids who have just ADHD. So they're not quite as effective as they are in kids with ADHD alone. And there seems to be some suggestion that there might be more side effects of the ADHD medication in children with autism. We don't really know why. there haven't been very good studies to test whether kind of the same behavioral parent training approach that you might use in ADHD is effective for ADHD in autism. Mm-hmm. Nobody's really done that research. But so most kids who have autism and ADHD are going to be getting the ASD behavioral treatments earlier on, probably, and then have the ADHD treatment layered on top whenever that comes online and gets noticed to diagnose. And that's usually going to be medication, and it may not be quite as effective as it is in kids with ADHD alone.
We're early in this process, and you probably don't have numbers on this, but any idea how much overlap we have here? Like, is it maybe 10% of the autism crowd has ADHD or something like that, or are we really guessing at this point?
That's a good question, and we're kind of guessing, but we have a range. So, I mean, if you look at the research, it's anywhere from 40 to 70% of children with autism also have ADHD. So I think it's probably in the 40 to 50% range would be my guess. Maybe about half of children with autism also have ADHD. The challenges with the research, sometimes it's not clear whether we're reporting on these kids with autism actually meet full criteria for ADHD versus these children with autism have elevated symptoms of ADHD. And many children with autism have elevated symptoms of ADHD but may not meet the full diagnostic criteria for ADHD. So I think 40 to 50% is probably the right ballpark. And like I said earlier, kind of predominantly the inattentive presentation, although certainly we see all presentations of ADHD in kids with autism, but the inattentive piece seems to be particularly prevalent.
Now, Megan, years ago, back in the DSM-4 days, we had a fun show with Dan Pruitt, who was an ADHD coach up in Atlanta. And back in the DSM-4 days, you could have inattentive, hyperactive, and combined type. And Dan went through the math of you had to have like 6 out of 9 symptoms in hyperactive and inattentive, and I think 9 out of 8, whatever it was. But he did a calculation of all the possible combination of symptoms that you could have in order to get the diagnosis of ADHD back in those days. And I think that it was 18,000, like 600 and some odd different kind of combinations that didn't take into consideration the severity or comorbid conditions. And I did that show, and I refer to it a lot because when you've seen one person with ADHD, you've seen one person with ADHD. It's a very complex type thing, and it presents very differently. I've coached tax accountants before, and I've coached some of the most on-time people I've ever met were people with ADHD, and some of the most organized people I've ever met. But on the other side, it's all over the place. So you have this complexity that's not a one-size-fits-all. And then you have autism spectrum, which is a whole other thing. And then you marry those two, and as a parent and even you – and what the research that you're doing, just trying to sort this stuff out and figure it, it's got to be quite a task.
It is. And I think, you know, that issue has sort of directed my research to where it is now, where a lot of the research that's been done before on autism and ADHD has really focused on school-age children and adolescents, which is very important. But that's after both diagnoses are already made and fully expressed and established, and it's very hard to determine then what's causing what and how did this happen and what symptoms overlap and which are different. And so that's pushed me toward earlier and earlier and earlier development. So at this point, I'm focused on studying babies who are at risk for autism or for ADHD because they have an older sibling with autism or an older sibling or a parent with ADHD, so a first-degree relative with ADHD, and trying to understand kind of where do we see similarities and differences before we see the full expression of these conditions, because that might help us better understand what they have in common. And then if we can identify some sort of common link between autism and ADHD very early on in life before we can predict which child is, you know, what the child is developing, that might be a really good intervention target to try to prevent some of the downstream consequences of challenges with attention and social communication, so that it might be a bit more efficient to focus on what these conditions have in common. Is it, you know, core attention processes and try to target that very early in development so that it doesn't continue to have the kind of compounding effects over time. But I think it's hard for us to figure out, you know, we can do study after study after study comparing kids with autism and kids with ADHD and kids with both on this cognitive test and this cognitive test and this cognitive test. And that's helpful, but it only goes so far because there's just that chicken or the egg question.
Yep.
And so by focusing on very, very young children before they've fully developed their symptoms, we might be able to get a better sense of kind of how are they the same, how are they different, what things really do overlap, and how could those things help us do a better job developing treatments that help kids with both.
Absolutely. Tell you what, treatments is a big thing. I want to come back. I want to talk about that for a lot of the parents who might be listening to this. Before we go, everybody, I mean, before we go to break, a reminder, Megan, mindsetinstitute.org. And everybody, tonight's secret word is ASD. So you might want to write that down in order to throw your hat in to get a couple free issues of Attention Magazine. So we're going to come back. We're going to talk about parents and what to do. With that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Change your life by learning more about managing ADHD. Other places give you a few tips. The ADD Coach Academy will change your life. To find out more, go to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Megan Miller having a great conversation about ADHD and autism spectrum and the fact that they can kind of coexist, at least today, or today's way of thinking. And Megan, we have two very complex conditions that overlap, and I know your job right now, and I got to believe it's a calling of yours, is to do the research to try to start to discern some identifiable differences in these groups scientifically and try to develop normative data so you can determine what we got going on here, which is it's complex and it's new and it's sounds like it's very challenging, fun for you to a degree to solve that problem. But on the parent side of it, they're still trying just to sit there and say, you know, what do we do here? And I really wanted to do the show with you to identify that this is there. But this is, at the end of the day, this is really complicated stuff. And we don't have a whole lot of answers right now and a lot of solutions and a lot of strategies. But there is resources and thought leaders that are putting their attention to that. So there's hope. Do you want to just talk about that for a second?
Yeah, sure. So I think what I would say is that, you know, we do have good interventions for autism. We have good interventions for ADHD, all of which are evidence-based. And I think at this point, what I tell families is to just move forward with those. So we don't have anything that's specifically designed for comorbid cases at this point, but I'm not entirely sure that's necessary at the moment, that you know, if your child has autism, we want to be getting the best behavioral intervention that we can get. If there's ADHD layered on top of it, you know, it's up to the family to determine whether they feel like they want to try some of those ADHD-specific behavioral strategies or if they want to try medication. But my recommendation is that, or my what I would say is just that we have really quite good interventions available at the moment, and I don't know that we need a separate set of interventions for kids who have both, but we may need to layer on top of the interventions we know are already effective what we know from the ADHD world in terms of what is helpful. So, you know, the challenge I think can be finding the right providers who really understand autism and ADHD separately and combined. But I don't think that there's, some treatment out there that only one person knows how to do or anything like that. You know, it's really kind of the standard stuff that we have is what I recommend for families, and it can be quite effective.
So I'm gonna kind of make a statement here, and Megan, I want you to feel free to disagree with me or comply. But the one thing that I've learned over the years is that in interviewing the experts, ADHD, like 60% of the time, there's something else at play. And if you really think about that, the chances are is that there's something else to play, which takes ADHD and makes it kind of more complex. And what's been fascinating to me over the years is ADHD, whatever gets diagnosed first, actually becomes a blind spot because people begin to focus in on that label and they don't actually see the other conditions that arise, or it takes them a long time. We did some interviews with Dr. Olivardi about ADHD and bipolar and the delay sometimes in the diagnosis of the bipolar because they're diagnosed with ADHD and that's all they see. And where I'm going with this, Megan, is as a parent, you spend 24/7 with your kids. You know them better than anybody else, and you get to see them over a period of time. And I think that really the key is observation and knowing your kid and advocating for your kid. And really, if something doesn't sound right, listen to your gut. I have a very dear friend of mine who has a child that was diagnosed with autism, and as time goes on, it's looking much more like ADHD, but it's in this weird area. And because the child was labeled as autism kind of going through, it's been difficult for them to deal with this stuff going through. It's part of the system. But where I'm really going with this, Megan, is as a parent, you have to know that they're complicated and it's there, but really comes down to awareness and education and looking at your kid uniquely and watching what works and watch what doesn't work, and really trying to work with them not as a normative value but as an individual, that you've got this generalized information, but at the same time yours might be on one end of the spectrum or the other, and keep that in mind. Your thoughts on that, Megan, just from a mindset, from a parent? Just don't read the book and say one size fits all. You have to participate in this and make observations. Thoughts?
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that, you know, the issue you raised in terms of ADHD and bipolar disorder and things like that, I mean, that issue of what we call diagnostic overshadowing occurs a lot in autism, where providers will say, well, it's just the autism, and the autism is a catch-all for everything else, and it explains every symptom the child is having, instead of potentially considering that there might be something else going on in addition to autism, like ADHD, for example. And so, I think observation, and honestly, I think one of the best strategies that I recommend for parents is to keep their own data. So, keep track of how the child's doing when they start a new program. If you have a child with autism and you really feel like something's going on with ADHD and you pursue that and the physician says, let's try medication, and you're open to it, keep data on how it's working. Fill out rating scales, even if the provider won't do it for you, which is, I always hope that a provider will be collecting regular data from parents and teachers to see if the medication is working. But if they won't, keep the data yourself and fill out a rating scale every week or something like that, or have the teacher do it every week. And then you can kind of track what is working and have the evidence for yourself from your own observations in a sort of structured way to help you draw your conclusions about what's helpful for my child and what isn't. But it can be very frustrating when particularly a parent of a child with autism who really feels like there's something more going on beyond the autism in terms of his difficulty paying attention, difficulty staying seated, grabbing things all the time and blurting out, and all of the ADHD-like symptoms. It can be really challenging because a lot of providers will kind of dismiss that as it's just captured in the autism and not move forward with something beyond that to try other strategies for ADHD. And so I do think it's important, unfortunately, to be persistent. And you're right. Families absolutely know their child best. So that does unfortunately require some persistence a lot of the time.
Yep.
Especially with kind of the old school folks who aren't really ready to make a dual diagnosis or something like that at this point.
Yep. So I'm grateful that you came on tonight to have a conversation about this situation that's relatively complex, to give parents a realization that you're not the only one that's there. The concept of coexisting and really working with them is relatively new, and we all have to work together in on this. But no, you got people like Megan doing the research and trying to help this figure out. And I do think, you said it earlier, finding the right provider, mental health professional or provider that really understands this is not an easy task. But, you know, Megan, you coming on and having this conversation, I hope is inspiring parents to get educated or those impacted by this and to understand what's going on so they can discern when they're talking to professionals who knows what's going on or not and actually begin to question it, because it's unfortunate we don't necessarily know more, but it's actually really exciting. I mean, I know 10 years ago when I started doing interviews, this was way off the radar screen, and more people are talking about it. So in the long run, I think it's actually really good news. Before we wrap things up, any last thoughts or anything to share with regard to this space that would be helpful for our listening audience?
Yeah, I mean, just to follow up on what you were just saying, I am really hopeful that in the next several years we'll have a lot more information that can kind of inform the way that we approach diagnosis, but also treatment for kids who have both sets of symptoms going on. Like you were saying, it's only been since 2013 that kind of technically it's been legal for us to diagnose both together. And that's really not that long ago at this point. So, you know, it takes a little time for the research to catch up with those kinds of changes, but you know, we are getting there, and I think that there will be a lot of potential also for trying to understand the kind of earlier overlap between these two conditions that might allow us even more opportunities to intervene earlier as well, which I think is really exciting.
Awesome. So we're going to have like a sequel with you like a year from now, like where were we then and where are we now? It'd be kind of exciting to see how that's kind of a progress. But with all that being said, Megan, I thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, happy to do it. Thanks so much for having me.
Everybody, learn more about Megan at mindinstitute.org. Also, tonight's secret word is ASD. We hope you've enjoyed this tonight's show, and catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.